This is quite a weekend for Pentecost and a message. In Acts today, the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples who are, as it says, all together in one place. Pentecost is associated with red and with fire and with heat. Although the reading says that the tongues descended as if of fire. And the disciples did not speak in the charismatic tongues that some assume, but rather spoke in a way that was understood by every individual's mother tongue. It's the story in reverse from the Old Testament of the Tower of Babel, where humanity thought so much of itself that it dared to build a tower to meet God, and then was dispersed, speaking languages that none could understand. But now on Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, instead of presuming to be God, the disciples receive God. They receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit unites what has been previously dispersed. The gospel reading reminds us of Jesus coming into the upper room. We've read this already, about 50 days ago, appearing to the disciples and offering the gift of the Holy Spirit. The disciples have grieved the death of Jesus, and now Jesus appears to them, leaving them the Holy Spirit. But during the 50 days of Easter, the disciples experience Jesus again and again, leading up to the ascension when he returns to the Father, what we celebrated last week. And now all they are left with is the Holy Spirit. James Martin's commentary today reminded us that Jesus appears to the disciples not unlike George Floyd, a body that is broken. In the last moments of Jesus on the cross, he says, "I thirst." His mother Mary sits at the foot of the cross. In George's last moments, he asks for water. In his last breaths, he calls out for his mother. Where is Jesus in all of this and the Spirit? Listening to James Martin today, he reminded us that there is no question at all where Jesus is in this. Jesus is in those peaceful protests, and Jesus is kneeling on the asphalt next to George Floyd. But now it is the Spirit that is with us, the Spirit which is like breath, the breath that can be taken away. But the Spirit is left to unite us, to energize us, to console us, and to direct us. For a celebration that we associate with fire, this weekend is a hard one. Our country burned last night in many major cities and continues to burn today. Some righteous anger at cruelty and murder and oppressive systems, and unfortunately some opportunistic and violent criminals on both political extremes. There was both righteous anger and there was also evil at work. When I started to think about what to say today and thought about the way that the Holy Spirit has been described in church to me, what I remember are hearing terms like the gifts of the Spirit and the consolation of the Spirit. But what the Spirit is showing us this weekend, it seems to me, is a holy anger that I think that we are asked to feel at a man whose breath was crushed out of him over a matter of minutes while surrounded by others, all in authority and all on film. You learn when you grow up from a child to an adult that there are no gifts that come without responsibilities. And if this weekend is to show us anything, it seems to me it's the responsibility that comes with the gift of the Spirit, the responsibility to forgive, as Jesus tells the disciples in the upper room, the responsibility to unite, as the Spirit does on Pentecost in our reading from Acts. Recently, I read a discussion online among Episcopal seminarians discussing with great fervor whether squirt gun baptisms were acceptable in a time of COVID. And it was so insipid and absurd that I found myself literally snarling in disbelief. Another similar conversation on the same platform was throwing around whether people believed in any number of very obscure theological terms. With all of that, it seems to be no wonder that The Economist is reporting 1 in 3 mainline churches shuttering at the current rate of decline in the US, and 1 in 5 if you include those that are not in the mainline. I think, speak for myself here, but that the church is missing the mark. I love the liturgy. I love our church music. I love our fellowship, and the community at church is all important. But when the church focuses obscure theological references and debating whether or not we can sing together in the midst of a global pandemic where 100,000 people have died, a widening political divide that has resulted in murder by the authorities, those aspects of church are not what is important. It seems like we're missing the mark, that it's the spirit that is burning still, that needs to be at work, that should be and is burning in every one of us and every congregation and every believer to work for unity and work towards healing divides and work towards peace. In a time of unprecedented national and global crisis, the church should be, I was going to use the term exploding, but suddenly after yesterday, that doesn't seem appropriate. The church should be blossoming, it seems, into this pain, sharing the love of Christ and sharing the unity of the Holy Spirit. There are two collects today that we were able to choose from, and I picked the one that said all races are welcome and that all people are welcome. In the Diocese of Spokane, they've chosen the theme for this year of setting the table in the wilderness. And in this table that we set in the wilderness, every person who draws breath is welcome at the table. The news isn't all bad this weekend. The Spirit is here and the Spirit is at work. In Miami, the news reported that when the protesters approached, the police took a knee and asked for forgiveness. People began to pray and sing. In some other cities, there were police that joined the rallies. The media and extremists want to build the us versus them, but most of us aren't on either side. I know a deputy in a neighboring county that lives in the valley, and he's a pretty conservative guy. And he says, I don't get it. I don't get why you burn and destroy Black-owned businesses. How does that help them? I understand his question because I used to ask that too. And I told him what I had to learn and what I'm still learning, which is that if you don't understand, then it's time to listen more. So the Spirit is asking us to act. The Spirit is telling us to love. And the Spirit is telling us to listen. It's telling us to grieve. It's telling us to unite. Pentecost is not about receiving fire. It's not just about wearing red. It's about becoming that holy fire and living into that red. The red of sometimes righteous rage, but mostly the red of Christ's all-redeeming love. So this is our question for today and for this week and for always. How do we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit every day and live out its mandate every day, sharing the love of the universal Christ with the whole world?